Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
For every generation, passing your beliefs on to the next is an important matter. This morning we're going to share the first part of a message by Pastor Curtis Going on passing our faith to the next generation. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 145 as we consider together how one generation can tell the next about the works of the Lord.
I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Psalms. We're turning together to Psalm 145, and we're going to read this psalm in its entirety. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1. This is a psalm of David's praise. He says, I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts or of thy awesome deeds. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And I'd like to take this morning as a text in verse number 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I wonder this morning, have any of you ever been to a Build-A-Bear workshop? Or do you know what I'm talking about? I see a few hands. If you've never been to one before, this is where children go to spend their parents' money or their grandparents' money and to make their own stuffed animal. Both of our boys have made a trip to a Build-A-Bear workshop, and you go in and you choose the animal you'd like to make, maybe a teddy bear, maybe a kitty cat, maybe a puppy dog. And you pick its fur, its color, and then you head to the next station in the workshop, and they fill that outer shell with stuffing. And you can tell them, I want my teddy bear to be hard, or I want it to be soft. And they'll put in just the amount of stuffing that you want, and then they'll take a heart and put that heart inside the teddy bear. And then, if you'd like to, you can even record a message with your voice on a little device, and they'll put that in that teddy bear so that when you hug it tight, you can hear your voice or someone else's voice. Sounds a little creepy to me, but some people like it. And then they stitch up the fur, and you go pick out the clothes you want your animal to wear, and then they have an untold number of accessories, all attempts to extract as many dollars as possible from your wallet. And then when you leave, you have a stuffed animal or a dog or a kitty cat or some other animal, and it's made just the way you want it to be. And it's a neat place. It's a creative way to give a special gift to a child. But I got to thinking one day that many people treat their understanding of God something like a Build-A-Bear workshop. You know, choose a God who looks the way you want him to look, who says just exactly what you want him to say, a God who acts according to your preferences, a God who is stuffed full of all of the things that you like most about him, a God where you leave out the things that you don't like. And you could look across the church world today and see people everywhere who seem to be serving a God of their own invention, a God of their own imagination. And depending on where you are, some people seem to have a God who is almost like a toothless, doting grandfather in the sky. He's there to affirm you and give you whatever you want, kind of like a divine vending machine. A God who winks at your disobedience, and his primary goal is to make you feel better about yourself. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum are those who have a God who is harsh and exacting and demanding. He's a taskmaster who is short on love and he has no grace, whose primary goal is to make you feel bad about yourself. And we understand that neither of those extremes is accurate or a biblical balanced view of God. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God who is so great that he isn't bound by your understanding of him or mine. He's a God that we cannot put in a box. He's a God that we cannot define. He is a God who is vast, and God is who he is, and he will be who he will be, regardless of what I say about him or think of him, regardless of what you think of him. We don't serve a God of our own invention, a God of our own imagination. He's not a God of our own making. And the fact is, I'm a lifelong pursuer of truth. And this morning, I want to know God as he is, and not just as I would imagine him to be. And to the best of my ability, as imperfect as I am as a father, I want to do my very best to pass on to my children a true knowledge of God as he is. David told us that one generation will praise God's works to the next. And I want my children to know the true God. I want you to know the true God, the God of the Bible, the God of the ages, the God of eternity. And I want them to love God. And I want them to like God. If we pass on to our children a faulty view of God, a skewed misrepresentation of him, then we set them up for spiritual struggle and for failure for years to come, even for generations that may follow if the Lord tarries his coming And so it's so very important that we get to know the God of the Bible. And here in Psalm 145, which happens to be the final psalm of David that appears in this great hymnal of the Bible, we find David encouraging the people of Israel to speak to their children, to pass on to the generations coming behind them a knowledge of who God is and what he's done. This idea of one generation passing on to the next the knowledge of God and his working among his people, this is a theme, this generational passing on of the faith. It's a theme that we find all throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, God is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And imperfect as they were, these men passed on to succeeding generations what they had learned about the great God of heaven. You remember when the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan River, Joshua told them to take 12 men to take a stone from the midst of the Jordan. And he said, I want you to stack up these stones as a memorial so that when your children pass by and they say, what do these stones mean? You can tell your children how God miraculously brought us into the promised land. Then there was Samuel. God had given the Israelites great victory over the Philistines. And Samuel took a stone and he set it up, and the name of it, he called it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And whenever the people saw that stone, it was a reminder of the faithfulness of God. It was a reminder to future generations, the God of your fathers, the God who sustained them, is a God who will keep you. He's a God who will sustain you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God had given his commandments, his statutes, and he said, thou and thy son and thy son's son should keep the commandments all the days of your life. This is the passing of the faith from one generation to the next. In the New Testament, we have the example of Timothy. He was a faithful preacher of the gospel. But before you ever get to Timothy, there's Timothy's mother, Eunice, who walked with God. And then there was Timothy's grandmother, Lois. She lived out her faith before her daughter, before her grandson. And Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is within you, that's been passed to you from your godly mother, your godly grandmother. Keep the fire burning. And I think in my own life this morning, how I've been blessed with parents who passed the faith on to me, which was passed on to them by their parents, which had been passed on to them by their parents on at least one branch of my family tree. I can count back six generations of family who have served the Lord and passed the torch on to the next generation. And I would say to you this morning, if you don't have that heritage, if you're a first generation Christian, you have the distinct privilege of starting a new legacy of faithfulness for the generations who may follow you. And one of my highest priorities in life is to do all that I can to train and instruct and guide and love my sons into the kingdom of God. But one of the most basic responsibilities as a parent when it comes to passing on the faith is to lead our children in the direction of truly knowing God. Now, I have a feeling that every one of us are going to get to heaven someday and find out there are some things about God and about his word that we thought we knew, but we were wrong. How many of you think it's possible you could be wrong about something? It'd be good therapy just to raise your hand right here. It's possible we could get something. It hasn't happened very often for me, but every great once in a while, my wife would tell you I get something wrong. That's why we walk in humility in our pursuit of truth. But I want to do my best to point my children in the right direction. And as I've studied this psalm, I've found myself meditating and thinking, what do I want my children to know and understand about the character of God? How do I pass on to them a biblical understanding, an accurate concept, even a nuanced understanding of who God is? What do they need to know about God? Very simply stated, I want them first to know that God is. I want them to know that there is a God in heaven. And I want them to know that within the Godhead are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I want them to know that the work of salvation is one in which all three members of the Godhead act together. I want them to know that God is our Creator. He's our sustainer. He's Almighty God. He's a God of love. He's a God of holiness, a God of goodness, a God of justice, a God of mercy, a God of grace. He's a faithful God, an awesome God. He's a transcendent, majestic God. He's an immanent, personal God, an unchanging God, a trustworthy God, and on we could go. And I want my children to understand that there's more than simply knowing about God. And I want to fill their head with lots of right truths about God. But I also want them to know that they can truly, personally, intimately know God and walk with Him. And I want them to know that they can enjoy walking with God. But it's interesting to me, as David writes this psalm, encouraging the people of Israel to pass their faith on to the next generation, it's interesting to me the specific aspects of God's character that he highlights. And I want to point them out to you in general categories this morning. In verses 3 through 7 and verses 11 through 13, David extols the greatness of God. He is God Almighty. And then in verses 8 through 10 and 14 through 16, he describes the goodness and the graciousness of God. And then in verses 17 through 20, he speaks of the righteousness of God. And I want us to consider these for a few minutes. Verses 3 through 7, verses 11 through 13, we see the greatness of God. Oh, I want our children, our young people, our middle-aged folks, our older folks, to have an understanding of the vastness, the greatness of who God is. In verse number 3, David said, God's greatness is unsearchable. No human mind can fully comprehend the vastness of who God is. One preacher of a bygone day put it like this. He said, the subject of God is so vast that all of our thoughts are lost in its immensity. So deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. No subject will tend to humble the mind more than thoughts of God. But while the subject of the greatness of God humbles the mind, it also expands it. He said, he who often thinks of God will have a larger mind than the man who simply thinks on earthly things. The most excellent study for expanding the soul is the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified, and the knowledge of the glorious Trinity. He said, nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as an earnest investigation of the great subject of God. Notice the phrases that David employs. He speaks of God's mighty acts, the glorious honor of His majesty, His wondrous works, His terrible acts, meaning His awesome deeds. Verses 11 through 16, he speaks of the majesty of His kingdom, His power, His permanent, eternal, everlasting kingdom, His enduring dominion. Now, I don't know about you, but when I try to get my little 20-watt brain connected to some of these high and lofty descriptions of God, the light bulb just, it blows. I have a hard time comprehending the greatness and the vastness of God Almighty. Sometimes with our words and our attitudes, we can communicate that our God is small, that he's limited, that he can't help us. I want to ask you this morning, what kind of God are we introducing to our children? Is he a big God? Is he a God who is mighty? Is he a God who can do all things? Is he a powerful God? How great is the God that your children are coming to know? How great is the God that they're learning about in our church? One great Christian thinker suggested that one of the ways we can get a right understanding of the greatness of God is by comparing him with earthly powers that we think of as great. In Isaiah 40, the people of that day felt like we feel sometimes. They were discouraged. They were despondent and despair. They felt like the tide had been turned against them. But Isaiah comes alongside and he points the people of that day to some of the truths about God's greatness that remain today. He said to those people, he said, look what God did in the creation of the world. And he asked this question. He said, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? Who weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance? Anybody here this morning capable of doing those things? Are you wise enough? Are you strong enough? No. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is able to do these things. And then Isaiah said, look at the powerful nations of the world. In that day, they were Assyria and Egypt and Babylon. They had powerful armies, national armaments, and resources that just dwarfed what Israel had. But Isaiah said to these people of his day, demonstrating the power of God, he said, the powerful nations of the world are like a drop in a bucket, like a speck of dust on the scales of God. All nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him less than nothing in vanity. That's one of the reasons we pay attention to what's happening in our world. We're alert. We're aware. But God's people don't despair. God's people don't give in the face of uncertainty. And when our children and our grandchildren hear us talking about the news and the things that are happening in our world, somehow in the midst of all of that, they need to pick up in our language that we use when we talk about these things. They need to pick up on the reality that our hope is in God, who is so much greater and more powerful than all the nations of the world. Isaiah pointed the people of his day to the nations of the world. He pointed to the great world leaders who held sway. Think of some of the great world leaders over time. Nebuchadnezzar over the mighty Babylonian Empire. Alexander the Great. Napoleon. We move into our time and think of the movers and shakers on the world scene. And Isaiah reminds us the great God that we serve brings the princes of this world to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. And then Isaiah told the people, look up at the stars of the sky. When we lived on the coast of North Carolina, the island where we lived was a special place that was designated for people who came, people who are tuned in to astronomy, watching the stars. And there were people who would come from all over the United States to that little island with their telescopes, and they would set them up on the end of the island and get a beautiful view of the stars in the sky, unhindered by the lights of large cities. And many times when we lived on the island, I would step out on a clear night and look up at the vast skies and see those brilliant pinpricks of light all across the inky black canvas of the night sky, and stand there and think about the great God who stepped out into nothingness and flung the stars into space. We're told there are between 100 and 4 billion stars in the Milky Way alone. And Isaiah pointed to the stars. He said, "Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created all things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power." What do I want my children to know about the greatness of God? I want them to know that God is bigger than they are, that he's mightier than the mightiest nations on earth, that he's greater than the most powerful leaders in our world. He's the God of the universe. And I want you to know this morning, a God who is that big and great and vast and mighty can take really good care of you. He can take really good care of our families. He's, songwriter said, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. And David called the people of his day to point their children and their children's children to the greatness of God.
You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. My friend, if you have any questions about today's message, or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before him, we would be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. If you need help with transportation to church, please contact us, and one of our church buses may be able to pick you up on a Sunday morning for Sunday school. If you enjoy listening to stories, you can call 717-273-4561 or 4562 and hear a short story with a devotional message that applies to children. We hope to see you in person, but if it's not possible, you can watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you join us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
You ask me why I believe like I do, why I'm so convinced that the Bible is true. I'm here to tell you it's only because I've come through enough to see what faith does.
Said with the faith of a small mustard seed, that mountain will move. Believe and you'll see. Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible, no matter what was. Faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to try. Receives the incredible, no matter